Okay, we're back to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM, and we're here with Jerry Bertone, who is the Department of the Service of the Aging Senior Mobility Manager. Yes. And just before we go back to Shari, I just want to remind everybody that at 1:15 this afternoon on 88.1, the supervisor of the town of North Hempstead, Judy Bosworth, will be delivering her State of the Town Address live, which is the first time this is being done, thanks to Dan over here, which is, it's a great, you know, service to the community. So, thank you very much for that. And listen, and we're going back to Shari. She has so many tips that really need to be heard, and more importantly, adhered to. I hear stuff, but sometimes my trunk is empty.
I want to say one very important thing is find out how all the controls in your car work before it starts to rain and snow. Know how the defogger works, the de-icer works. Don't start fiddling around when you're out there and it's raining and snowing, you can't see. Spend a minute or two, at most, no more than 5 minutes, knowing exactly how all these things work. They're there for your safety, your convenience. Take advantage of it. I know I got the new car this week, and I didn't do it. And yes, driving out here, I was fooling around trying to find out how to get the windshield wiper to work to get the crud off the windshield. And I said, my God, wasn't that foolish? And it was. Yeah. Takes a few minutes to do it.
That's a good true. Point. And know where your hazard lights are, that little
button.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a good suggestion that AAA has if in terms of defogging the inside of your car. When you turn your car on, usually you put the defroster on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they suggest instead putting the heat on for 2 minutes at first. That dries out the car, eliminates the moisture. And then you can switch to the defogger. And I've tried that, and it works great.
Mm. Wow,
if you have one of those auto start cars,
right,
you could actually leave it on high heat, start your car up from the house, let it warm up, and then it's a way to eliminate that foggy situation. Also, please know no one should warm their car up in a garage, even if the door is open. Carbon monoxide builds up even if the door is open. Even if you're only warming up the car for 2 minutes, it's a dangerous situation. Mm. So what you're supposed to do is open the garage, clear out what you need to so you can back your car out of the garage, then turn your car on, immediately back out, and then shut your garage door.
That's another huge tip, because a lot of houses on Long Island have the attached garage.
That's right. Yes.
And a lot of people are into this, push the button, the car's starting, so it's nice and warm, but you're finishing your coffee, it might be 5 or 10 minutes before you're getting out there, which is economically silly, but that's besides the point.
Right.
I didn't even think of that myself. And just opening the door is not enough, because it's still going to be...
Yeah, that's right, because you say, oh, there's fresh air coming in, but the CO2 is, and carbon monoxide... tend to fall down on the bottom. It's heavier than air, and they just stay there and accumulate, and you can't smell them.
That's right.
You can't taste them. You don't know it's there until it's too late.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, really? Actually, again, I want to throw out the 311 number, because, Shari, you have a list of all these different things or information
correct
for people.
If anyone would like a summary of what to keep in your trunk or a list of tips to help keep you safe in driving in ice and snow conditions, just call 311. I'd be happy to send this out to you. So everyone should leave a lot of time to not only clean off their car, clear what they have to from their driveway, but also anticipate the extra travel time, because everyone will be driving slower. Posted speed limits are for normal conditions.
I'll back that up. Not everyone. Right. You'll always get one person that's crazy. And that's the person to watch out for.
That's right.
That's zooming in and out.
Yes.
And that's not me.
In any condition, you're going to have crazy people.
I'm too old for that.
But one would hope that the crazies even need to slow down. They will have to, because the traffic is in front of them. There's no way, unless they go on the shoulder, to go around the slow down traffic.
Yeah, and you have to be particularly careful in bad weather. When I was coming out here this morning, there was a big backup on Northern Boulevard at Lakeville Road because someone had broken down in the mid lane. There was a police car behind him with the flashing lights, and everyone was cutting in, cutting out, cutting in, and cutting out. creating hazards that weren't necessary. Yes. And those are the times you really have to be attentive.
Yes.
Because the roads were wet, they were slippery, you're watching that, and people are, you know, doing what John says are crazy things.
Yeah, well, I saw that this morning. I passed the
same
thing.
You got the same.
And I'm a big believer in my kids make fun of me, 1-1. It kills me when two people go in. It has to be one merge.
Right,
keep a nice, simple system.
Right,
but somebody has to get up on the tail and won't let the person
in. My answer is always defer to the guy who wants to cut in.
That's right.
I agree.
Yeah, don't fight them.
No, right. I agree. Good point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So when you are traveling, you want to maintain a greater distance between you and the vehicle in front of you.
Mm.
It used to be that you'd count to four, 1,000, 2,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Okay.
Between you and the with the passing, you would get a marker in front of you, such as a tree, to make sure you have a proper distance. So it's recommended you at least double it. So now you got to count to 8. And the reason we do this in bad weather is clear. You may not stop when you think you normally would. So you need more time to be able to stop your vehicle so you don't hit another car. And it might be that you have to steer rather than just brake to avoid another car, because steering will, on an icy situation, will move you quicker than braking and steering to, sometimes the car just doesn't respond when you press on the brakes. So you want to brake very gently to avoid that skidding sensation. And you also want to accelerate slowly, because sometimes from a stop, if you punch on the gas, you might have that little fishtail, which makes you feel very uneasy. And now you're anxious and you're gripping the wheel, and it's very uncomfortable.
When you're saying brake easy, that's gentle but deliberate, or popping it, like they say? Which, you know, like some people say, keep tapping it.
Well, with the new brakes, I think you just put you slow. They say slow, gentle pressure.
Okay.
Well, I tap when I want to flash somebody that I'm stopping.
Okay.
So I do that. If somebody is in back of me, I tap, because that makes your brake lights
go. Good point.
You could put your hazards on, which I did the other night. I think it was Monday night on the driving back.
Was
on the, I stayed on the service road. You know, the LIE was cleared very quickly, and it was fine. But I prefer, I drive where I'm comfortable. Mm. And for me, going slower on the service road without the pressure of cars wanting to, you know, go
pass
any further.
You or whatever.
Exactly. So, you know,
that's a huge point. Do what you're comfortable with.
Right.
If it takes another half hour and you're going to take all the side streets, except in the real snow, the side streets are cleaned last, but do what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, you know, there's always one lane that's cleared very
well.
And the others are not so cleared. So what happened was is that people in the left lane on the service road actually only had a partial lane. So they were going over the line. So you want to keep your, you know, speed, and you will have other cars that need to adjust. You need to anticipate that. So you want to drive in a way that's staggered. If you see a car that's almost next to you, maybe you might need to slow up. They might need to go in front of you because they don't have a full lane. So it takes being very alert when you're out on the road. Be aware if you've taken any medications. Maybe it's something new for a cold, and it's making you a little sleepy or tired. So if you've taken a new medication, just be aware how it might make you feel when you're out on the road.
Yeah, also remember, when it's snowing or sleeting, you can't see as well.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's another reason for slowing down, giving yourself a little space. Everything gets to be a little hazier in front of you or back of you. Just be. I noticed that coming out today, that the cars ahead of me were a little less distinct. Let's put it that way.
Right.
That's true.
If there is a dangerous situation, you find yourself in a whiteout situation, you want to find a safe spot to pull off the road, and you do. You never want to exit your car on where there's a lane, a busy roadway, or a hideway. So you want to get to a safe spot, put your hazards on. If you need to crawl across the other side of the car to exit safely, do that. Because most pedestrian accidents, fatalities, occur when a driver does not expect someone to be in their path. The minute you leave your car, you're now a pedestrian. They do not expect somebody to be exiting their car on a highway or a service road. But if you need to pull off because it's absolutely unsafe, find the safest spot possible. Right. Hopefully it's off a roadway if you can make it that far. If not, you just need to get to, you know, a spot where you can park and then use your cell phone. You don't ever want to use your cell phone while you're driving.
Right.
Of course.
And, that, you know, talking about pedestrian too, at this time, I noticed this the other night, you got to be very careful of people walking because the driveway, the sidewalks aren't all clean.
Right.
So they're out in the street. And there was this, I don't know if it was a woman or a man, there was a bunch of cars coming down in basic black.
Absolutely.
And it was last night, it was 7:30, 7 o'clock when I was coming home. It was like, you got to be kidding me. I happened to spot her, and I moved over, or him, seemed like a woman, moved over a little bit. But the guy who's on my tail last night, all of a sudden he had to make a swerve.
Yes.
So walking, I mean, either put one of those color guards on you.
Yes. That's one of those most important things that Jerry is promoting.
Yes, Jerry and I work together on the pedestrian subcommittee. And it's called the Subcommittee for Pedestrian Safety for Great Neck. Yes, and the driver of this is that we want everyone to know they need to be seen at night. All ages. Mm. This is an issue for everyone. For seniors, you have to pay careful attention when you're driving to look out for a pedestrian. And when you are the pedestrian, make sure that you're wearing something reflective on you. Mm. Nowadays, sneakers come with reflective trim.
Right.
You can also put, and jackets as well, you could buy reflective tape. It's sold in any 99-cent store, hardware store. Mm. And you could put it across the back of your jacket, outlining the form of a human body. And it's amazing. You forget it's on you, but it's keeping you safer.
Right.
It's automatically there. You could also wear light colors, anything that's going to reflect light. And it's important to be seen. It's important to cross where you're expected a pedestrian would be. So you want to cross at the crossing signal. If you find there's a crossing in your area that does not allow you enough time to cross, well, first make sure you're pushing the button to see that you have the maximum time for a pedestrian to cross.
That's significant, pushing the button?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, I don't even know they were.
See?
Extra.
Okay.
Right.
Well, it's not to make the light turn quicker for you. A lot of people think that's what it's for.
Yeah.
It's not. It sends when you press the button, it sends a signal to the computer inside the crossing signal light that there is a pedestrian present. Because after all, traffic lights are programmed to allow flow of traffic. If you do not tell it there's a pedestrian present, you may not have enough time to cross the street. And as Jerry has proven, he did a little research for us, it takes a senior much longer than average adult to cross the street. So if you don't press that button, it may not be safe for you to cross.
Terrific. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You get a little extra.
We're out of time, but that was, as Christina and I say, that was a golden nugget. I had no idea about pushing that button.
All right.
But a lot, and the tracker thing and the spray for the shoes are tremendous.
Right. Okay.
Right. We're here today with Jerry. I thank you so much for coming, especially now when the snow is finally starting to come in this winter.
Right.
And we're going to have Jerry back always, which is a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This is
good weather and bad. You're coming back.
You're listening to 88.1 FM. We'll be right back.